Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing to you and to your family. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us, Lord, to live in a wonderful place in this old world, Shenandoah Valley. What a beautiful place it is. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for your word that teaches us, leads us, guides us, directs us, comforts us, and even rebukes us when we're wrong. Thank you, Lord, for the church where we can go and gather with like-minded believers and, Lord, to sing the hymns and the songs, rejoicing in the great work that you've done in our hearts and our lives, and, Lord, endeavoring, working together to take that work to other people, sharing the gospel with a world that's without Christ, Lord, and hopefully that many of them will come to know you as Savior as well. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you just for who you are, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your integrity, for your truthfulness. Just thank you for who you are. We worship and praise you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Lord God Jehovah. Thank you this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to draw our attention. I've been in a series for some time, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. I've sort of been out of the loop here lately because of some things that have happened in my life. My father passed away about a month ago. My mother has vascular dementia, and she needs 24/7. And so just the logistics of trying to care for my mother and settle the affair on the estate, lots been going on. I've had some of my broadcasts have been old ones in the past. I apologize for that, but sort of getting back on track now. And if you would, and if you happen to think about it, the Lord happens to bring me to your mind for some reason, I would appreciate you praying for me and for my family as we continue to deal with the details of the death of my father, the caring for my mother with dementia. Just if you happen, the Lord brings you to mind, just say a word of prayer for us. I'd appreciate that. I know my mother would, and my sister as well. But back to this morning, our purpose for here is to look at the Word of God and allow God to work in our hearts. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Now the word just there means lawful or someone who's righteous. The just man, the lawful man, the righteous man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Matthew Henry says it this way. He says, it is here observed to the honor of a good man, one, that he does well for himself. He has a certain rule which with an even and steady hand he governs himself by. He walks in his integrity. He keeps good conscience, and he has the comfort of it, and for it his rejoicing. He's not liable to those uneasinesses, as he says, of those who don't live in such a manner. You know, when you don't live an honest life, you don't live a life of just obeying the law and being righteous, you have an uneasy life. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. And so when you live right, there is a great blessing that follows. Even when you live wrong, there's great trouble that follows and pursues. Matthew Henry goes on and says, not only does this one do well for himself, but that he does well for his family. His children are blessed after him and fare the better for his sake. God has mercy in store for the seed of the faithful. You know, I have personally, I think, enjoyed the benefit of having lived in a family whose leadership by my father was a man of integrity. And I can say I think I've been the beneficiary of many blessings because of that. The just man walketh in his integrity. Someone said that your character is what your fellow man knows about you or thinks about you. Your integrity is what God knows about you. The word integrity is defined in Webster's 1828 dictionary as this. It says wholeness, entireness, or an unbroken state. The idea of the entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity. The idea of being genuine, unadulterated, unimpaired state, integrity. You know, we need people of integrity in society today. It doesn't seem to be a lot of it anymore. We seem to live in a world that's in a mess, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. But thank God there are those who are men and women of integrity, that they're lawful and they are righteous in their lives. They live a life that's becoming of the name Christian and of Christianity. And thank God for those. And those of you who live in the valley and live by this means of being a just or a righteous or a lawful person, I appreciate that. I appreciate that in the valley we have many people that are of this demeanor. Thank God for each and every one of you. And would God that more would come over to this camp, if you would, and live a lawful and a righteous life. Thank God for those who do. We need to pray for those who don't, because we know that their life is full of chaos and misery. The way of a transgressor is hard. It's just hard. And so when we live a righteous life, there are many blessings, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those of our families. And it sort of goes downhill, and it ends up in their lap. You know, if we live a hard, sinful life, our children, our family sort of pays the price for it. But if we live a righteous life, our family reaps the benefit because of it. And so this morning, the just man walketh in his integrity. And so here's a principle. Each and every one of us ought to live with integrity. We ought to live with wholeness, entireness, of an unbroken state in our morality, our soundness. We ought to be impure, incorrupt, upright, honest. We ought to have moral character. We ought to be honest people. And so here's a principle. Just live right. Biblical principles for practical living. Just do right, whether people know it or not. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right until the stars fall. Just do right. Someone asked a question, is it right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right? Well, the answer is obvious, no. It's never right to do wrong. We're always to do right. Just do right. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. I trust that you want your family to be blessed after you. And one of the ways we can assure that is to live a life of righteousness, a life of lawfulness, a life of integrity. And may God help us to be that kind of person. What God knows to be true about us, may it be that he knows that we are men and women, boys and girls of integrity. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And so this morning, may God help each and every one of us to have a desire, number one, just to be a righteous, lawful individual, a man or woman of integrity. May God enable us, may he strengthen us, may he encourage us to be what we need to be so that we are the beneficiary of it, but also our family as well. And may God help us to do that this morning. People of integrity, God's people need to be people of integrity, and may God help us to do that. Let's move on to chapter 20, verse number 10 and 11. Let's look at another principle this morning. The Bible says, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. In verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. In this particular verse here, God is teaching us and reminding us here of a principle that I think is very important. And it goes back to a little bit the verse we just looked at, but it says a little bit different flavor here. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are like abomination to the Lord. The various arts of deceiving that men have, all which evils the love of money is the root of. That's Matthew Henry. You know, there's a lot of way that people deceive. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7, listen to these words carefully. Amos 8, 4 through 7. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuge of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of thy works. God is, if you would, telling on Israel of old. They were looking for an opportunity to deceive. Ephah that is small, a shekel that is great, falsifying the balances by deceit. One of the things, when you go back and you study some of the things of the Old Testament back in that era of the time, what they would do, they would put some balances in their or weights in their bags, and they would have one that was overweight and one that was underweight, and they would use it according to their own benefit. They would take the one that was overweight, and when you were buying something, they would use that weight so that you would overbuy and not get as much for your money. And when they were buying from you, they would use an underweight so that they wouldn't have to pay you as much as the product was worth. It was an act of deception. It was fraud. It was lying. It was cheating. It's stealing. And unfortunately, society hasn't removed itself anywhere from that type of conduct. We don't deal in the weights so much as they did in days of old, though we still use weight system, but the fraudulent ways, the deceitful ways. Someone said years ago, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And how true it is, our society is ever a bit as deceitful as it has ever been. Unfortunately, that's the case. But for God's people, though, we have no business utilizing any deceitful means in our way of conducting business with anybody for any reason. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 15, thou shalt not have in thy bags divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thy house divers measures, a great and small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Proverbs 20:23, divers weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Chapter 16, verse 11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. God's speaking to Israel, and he said, listen, you need to be honest. Here's a good biblical principle for practical living. Be honest in all of our dealings at all time. There's never, ever, under any circumstances, that anything less than the utmost integrity, the utmost honesty, is to be expected or accepted by anybody, much less a Christian. You know, being honest is not just for Christians. Being honest is a human trait, not just a Christian trait. We ought to be honest. Now, we know that humanity's not in many ways and many times, but we as Christians especially ought to be honest in all of our dealings. The issue that's really at hand is, a man with integrity would not have to deal in dishonesty because he wouldn't want anything that wasn't his. If he hadn't earned it, he wouldn't want it. If he didn't own it, he wouldn't want it. So honestly, divers weights, divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. So God is teaching us here that he expects us very quickly, very simply, to be honest. Now here's a simple question. Sometimes we preachers don't ask questions, and I'll ask a question this morning. You're listening, perhaps you're at work, the radio's on, you're driving down the road, maybe you're a truck driver, or maybe you're in your car, maybe you're in your woodworking shop, you're doing something. Let me ask you a question. Are you an honest person? Do you deceive people? Do you use unjust balances in your dealings with people? Do you find yourself trying to snooker somebody, get the best deal you can? Oh, you don't say anything to them, but you and God know. Are you an honest person? Sometimes we're not asked that question, so we're not brought to think about it. Maybe this morning somebody's listening and God's pricking your heart right now and he's telling you, no, you're not an honest person. And you need to do something about that. May God help us to be honest people in everything, in every place of life. There is no place for fraudulent, deceitful ways in Christianity, in life, much less Christianity. And may God help us to take these two principles, integrity and honesty, and sort of go hand in glove. May he encourage us, may he challenge us, and may he change us because of this. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.